I just got out of the shower, and when I take a shower, I try to use only like soaps, natural soaps, and shampoos and stuff that I can get sourced locally from people who I know are not Jewish or trying to kill me or some giant transnational company that's purposely putting carcinogenic products in it, elements in it. And so I ran out of the good stuff, and I had to go to the store and buy the regular soap and shampoo. It's terrifying. And I couldn't even find the baking soda, so I had to use this old tube of like toothpaste. And it was like healthy, supposedly like healthy toothpaste, right? But it's this bourgeois. Let me explain how this process has affected us. We have this bourgeois development that has occurred, and what does that mean? Well, there's a lot of definitions to it, but it's basically this mindless, brainless, middle class stuff where you're caught between the kind of adversity and struggle that it takes when you are of the lower class in order to survive, which means in many respects or in many cases that adversity builds strength. Okay. Strength through adversity. We all have heard that. Okay. But the middle class, they have it easy, and well, they think they have it easy. This is the problem. They're the biggest slaves in our society. Okay. So because they work some mindless bullshit job, right? Bullshit jobs, according to David Graeber. You should read that book. It's a great book, Bullshit Jobs. That most of the jobs that the middle class do are unnecessary. They're just fake make work jobs. Okay. So, but I went to brush my teeth, and they're not, I don't have rotten teeth. I have cracked. They're cracked. They're breaking because I'm grinding them so much because of this bullshit society. But I don't have rotting teeth, right? So I need to get the cracks fixed in them. But I brushed my teeth, and I don't have bad breath or anything like that. Okay. But I like to use baking soda because it's the, in my view, the superior methodology. And here's how you know. And this goes back to this argument. And this, I was thinking about this while I was in the shower. Okay, so there's this tube of toothpaste over there. And I'm looking at it going, oh, tube of toothpaste. When I would just like to dip my toothbrush into some baking soda. Okay, and which is the superior product. And prior to the invention of the novelty of the packaged goods industry, people just washed their clothes with borax, they brushed their teeth with baking soda, they washed their hair with regular tallow soap, the basics. And of course they didn't end up with the high cancer rates that we have today. So the packaged good stuff, is this relates to this idea of the bourgeois. Let me explain. So sometime around the 19 at the turn of the 20th century, so the 1900s, the elemental products like borax and baking soda, it was still around. But these hucksters decided to try to sort of titillate the desire. They tried to sort of like address the boredom of the middle class, and by providing them the novelty, this is the big word, novelty, the novelty of the packaged goods. No, don't take your toothbrush and dip it into baking soda. We have this tube. You squeeze it, and this cream comes out the tip of a tube. And people like, and the housewives are like, oh my God, this is the best thing. Wow, novelty. I can squeeze it, and it comes out of the tip of a tube. And of course, with all the phallic implications, but I'm not even going to go into that in this particular video, but yes, it is a very phallic thing going on there. Okay, so, but you know how, but and then we discover after the products have been tested since the 1970s, we've been getting reports over and over and over and over again that these products are containing carcinogens that don't belong there. Some of them that are purposely put in and that are on the label. right? But then there's the ever-present benzene, which mysteriously keeps on ending up in all of the products for 40, 50 years now. Benzene, a very, very potent carcinogen, and you don't want it in your healthcare products. You don't want there to be benzene. Okay, that's like rocket fuel. They use rocket fuel. They use it for dragsters. Okay. But it is a very potent carcinogen. It mutates the DNA. It is very, very bad for humans to apply to their skin, and even worse, to eat it. Okay. And we have seen, and I've done shows on it, multiple shows. I've had 3 shows that I haven't even aired yet that I've done on the poisoning of our food supply and of our healthcare products that you find in your Target, Walmart, you know, Best Buy, wherever the hell it is. Shop right, shop wrong. Whatever it is, the Family Dollar, whatever it is. So, I brush my teeth with bacon soda, and you know how you can tell the bacon soda is far superior to this shit with the benzene that's coming out of the tubes, is that you dip your toothbrush in the bacon soda. Okay, your breath could be kind of okay. Your breath doesn't even have to stink. You dip it in the bacon soda. You start to brush your teeth, and then you can smell this god-awful stench coming out. What is that? Well, it's not the bacon soda, because the bacon soda doesn't have a smell to it. What is that? That's you. That's the stink coming right out from every crack of that tooth, because it got a very strong elemental chemical right in there. Gets right in there, but it's a basic, it's a neutral base. It's a neutral chemical, but it gets right in there and pulls all the shit right out on the very first contact. Okay, and that's why when you take the baking soda and you put it on the brush, you put it in your mouth, my God, this is god-awful stench. That's you! Okay, so you go, my God, let me rinse off that brush off the baking soda. Let me rinse out my mouth and let's put another round of baking soda. Okay, excuse me. I just woke up. So you take it and you put it in your mouth. Another round of stink comes out of your mouth. That's the baking soda getting in and getting all the bacteria, whatever the hell it is in there. It makes, you know, that's hiding in every crack and crevice of your teeth or your mouth. By the time you've rinsed that one out and you take your third round of the baking soda, suddenly it doesn't stink anymore because it has gone in and gotten all everything out of your mouth. Okay, that doesn't happen with toothpaste. Toothpaste is mostly inert stuff that doesn't do anything. You know, I remember I had a big problem with toothpaste in the early 1980s. They put all glitter in it. Crest toothpaste, Johnson & Johnson, I think it was Procter & Gamble. I think it was Johnson & Johnson owns Crest. Crest, like, let's put glitter in it, and that's going to get everybody excited. And I'm sitting there going, the fuck does glitter have anything to do with the functionality, utilitarian functionality thing of what toothpaste is supposed to be to clean your teeth, right? Glitter doesn't help. Okay. And so, but they did that, you know, to excite this bourgeois need for novelty. Just like in the early part of the 20th century when they squeeze the tube. Look at that, it's a tube. I squeeze it and stuff comes out. Just like a penis, maybe. Okay. The penis that they haven't seen because, again, this is the middle class. The middle class is the veering off of the whole sexual marketplace, the whole sexual charts. It's off the charts. Nobody's having sex. Because when you're in the middle class, you're so frustrated. You hate your life. You don't even talk to your neighbors. You have no sense of connection to yourself. You're completely the bourgeois. The American middle class is the most inept, most cut off, most isolated, alienated people you've ever seen. They are the worst. I've said this 10,000 times. I would rather hang out with the poor or the rich, not the middle class. They are the problem in the world today, and yet we talk about this vaunted middle class. Oh, God, the precious middle class. Precious middle class? You mean those fucking douchebags called the middle class? And the worst part of the middle class, the upper middle class. Because the upper middle class, first of all, there is no more middle class in the United States. They're quickly destroying it and it's becoming the low class now. So all there is low class and upper class. But there's people that are still pretending that they're middle class. People that vote for Joe Biden, they still think that these are the bourgeois right now. The bourgeois, when you're a bourgeois piece of shit, You're unable to understand the plight of your fellow man. You don't give a fuck about it. When you're a bourgeois middle class, all you care about is moving up from that minivan to that luxury SUV someday. You know, you got that Chevy minivan, and boy, you're eyeballing that. You're eyeballing that whatever. Maybe at first it's a Ford SUV, then maybe someday you make it up to maybe a better name brand SUV, and then you've made it. And if your brother or your neighbor or your sister or the guy down the street is having a difficult time in life, not only do you not give a shit about his plight, right? You don't even know him. You've never even spoken to him. You've never even spoken to the neighbor that lives right next door to you for 20 years. Never spoken to him, or spoken to him once or twice. That's the middle class. When I grew up, everybody knew everybody in the neighborhood. You know, we didn't lock our doors. My parents used to say, we're not the type of people to lock our doors, because we didn't live in the type of neighborhood where you needed to lock your doors. So it wasn't that we were the type of people. We just didn't live in the type of society where you needed to lock your doors. No one was going to come into your house and steal your shit, right? Nowadays, you don't lock your door and someone finds out, you're going to have trouble. But that's not the kind of place I grew up in. I grew up in a place that was a cohesive neighborhood. Well, as cohesive as it could have been. There was upper middle class. There was middle class. There was poor. We were middle class. There were people who had less money than my dad, who worked for Grumman Aerospace. And there was people who had more money. So I would say just right down the middle, right there. I didn't get that many Christmas gifts, whatever. I got a couple Christmas gifts. They'd say, go pick out a couple things from the Sears catalog, son, and we'll get you that. I'm like, oh, yeah. That blows the whole Santa Claus myth. I literally would pull out the Sears catalog and say, I want that. And they all had to pretend that Santa Claus got it when I knew damn well Dad went down to the Sears and bought it. Okay, where was I? This is long and rambling. Okay, yeah. So, and you try to, but now you try to explain to these people that are caught up in this whole novelty, because that's all it is right now, is novelty. The novelty of squeezing a fucking tube and out comes a toothpaste. They don't even think of it as novelty anymore. It's normalized, so we're acclimatized to it, so it's completely normal, but it's still a novelty, because actually the other stuff, the basic stuff, the borax is better than the, I don't even know the name of the kind of stuff that they have, all the stink and the scent in it. You know, okay, I don't even know the names of that stuff. But the borax is the superior product, and the baking soda is, of course, the superior product in brushing teeth. There's no question about it. It's the good stuff, and there's a number of other things that are just as good, probably, but all of them. All of the natural, base, elemental things are all way, way, way better than the fancy stuff with all the stink that they add into it. They call it fragrance. You look at a bottle, it says, you know, has 100 ingredients, and one of them is called fragrance. And you're sitting there going, the fuck is fragrance? I don't see the word fragrance on the, you know, the chart, the elemental chart of, you know, the atomic. It's like, yes, gold, you know, silver, iron, you know, silicon, fragrance. No. So what the fuck is fragrance? Well, and the fact that anyone would ever, like, accept that, like, I thought the government was here to protect us, right? Okay, so then all the articles says they did a test where they randomly, and I did a whole show on it about 2 years ago now. I did a whole show about the mass systematic poisoning of the people of the Western world, right? Where this independent laboratory went into Target and Walmart, and they just bought a bunch of products, shampoo, healthcare cream, lotions, all this stuff. And they tested them, and 25% of them had had life-threatening levels of the deadly carcinogen benzene, and that was all they were testing for, I think. And then but 25%. Okay, now you explain this to a bourgeois, normie, middle class douchebag, and you say, Because and this even made it on the news. So as much as they control and restrict and inhibit these stories do sometimes peep out into the news because they're so outrageous. Same with the story about the baby food, that there was arsenic and lead and cadmium and mercury in the baby food. And this story is an annual story. So it's not like it happened one time. Consistently, when you buy the packaged baby food from Gerber or from wherever the fuck you're buying it from, it's got arsenic in it. Now, and it's all, and I wonder who owns the companies that make the baby food. Well, you just simply go to Yahoo Finance. First of all, look at the label of the baby food. And you'll see it'll be, you know, Procter & Gamble or Johnson & Johnson or Cargill or who, one of the big companies. Okay. And then you find out, and then you just look at who owns it, and that's BlackRock. Okay. And or Vanguard, which owns BlackRock, and Vanguard owns BlackRock. It's Jewish, the old Jewish finance mafia owns it. Okay. And so they have a system where they have, you know, what I say is that the chain of food production or the production of any product from its inception or from its growth, to its manufacture, to its warehousing, to its distribution, to its secondary warehousing, to the retail. If somewhere along that line, somewhere in that process, these carcinogens, these poisons are purposely being added to the food. And then when the story comes out, and it comes out every single year. So it's not like this is a story that I haven't been following for 35 years. I remember when I worked at the beach as a young kid. This would have been, you know, in the 1980s and stuff. There was benzene in the tobacco. And you say, well, how the hell does benzene get into a product that's grown outdoors, tobacco? You know, my mother grew up on a tobacco farm in Massachusetts. Okay. It was just, you know, you planted tobacco leaves and you harvested them. It was cigarettes is what that was, or just the raw tobacco they would sell. There's no possible excuse to have had benzene in cigarette products. No possible way that benzene, there's no excuse, but that yet every time that they test these products for the benzene and it shows up in all these products, single time the company goes, oh, well, don't you see? You see this? It's 100 ingredients in there. Okay. Well, you see, there's this one supplier. He delivered the stuff in a 55-gallon drum. I guess he must have cleaned out those drums with benzene, and that's how it got in. No, Jew boy, you're adding it into our food. You're purposely trying to kill us and or harm us so that we go into the medical system, which is a transfer of money from who to who? What is the medical system? What's the medical system? Who runs the medical system? Well, that's easy. The medical system in the United States is Jewish. 100%. FDA is run by Jews. It's all Jews at the top position. For 30, 40 years, just Jew. And if it's not a Jew, it'll be a guy who will be working for a Jew in 3 years when he gets out. Because that's all you do. It's a revolving door. You get in there. You rubber stamp everything. You say, yes, benzene for the kids. Arsenic in the baby food's a good thing, you know. And then you're off to working for the companies that you said that's cool. Go ahead. Have fun with the benzene and the arsenic and all that stuff. Now you're getting a 6-7-figure salary. I see, you know. These are facts. So if anybody wants to debate, if there's any Jew that says, well, Harry Fox, how dare he say the medical system in the United States is controlled by Jews? All right, debate me on it, fuckheads. It's Jewish. Okay, so the idea of poisoning you and giving you cancer is it's a money transfer system from Goyim to the Jews, right? So they'll take this money transfer any way they can, or a population reduction, which is the other aspect of the mass poisoning, just to kill us all. So it's kill us all, steal our money. That's basically that's the only plan that Jews have. They certainly have not delivered us, they haven't provided any great philosophical personalities throughout history. This is a crisis for Jews too, because you start in the Greek period, and you have Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, and then you move up through history, you get to the Europeans, and you have John Locke, you have Immanuel Kant, you have all the great philosophers in human history. None of them are Jewish, but they know how to poison us. They're experts at that. So when the douchebags like what's his name, Jordan Peterson, says, "These Jews are the most intelligent people," yeah, at making money, but certainly they if they were the most intelligent people, how come there are no great Jewish philosophers? None. Zero. And then they go, "No, there was this one, Spinoza." What crap. That stuff is shit. That's not philosophy. That's theology. He was like, "God is in everything." That's Spinoza. I read that shit. It's garbage. It's not the great philosophy at all. Spinoza cannot compare to Leibniz in the German. He cannot compare to John Locke, the British. He cannot compare to Immanuel Kant. Nobody can compare to Immanuel Kant. No one can touch that. Okay, so the Jews are really good at poisoning us. Okay, and that's why I'm terrified when I go into a shower and I'm looking over at the bottle of shampoo that I had to buy because I ran out of the natural stuff that I know that I sourced. I'm looking at the bottle going, "Ooh, I gotta put this on," and I lift up the lid and I squeeze it out. And it's not a very comfortable feeling to put some like normie shit. And then you show the normies, you say, haven't you like paid attention to the stories that have come out year after year? Just type in arsenic in the baby food. I'll wait while you do that. And then you can read the articles later. And if you and Google is erasing them too, by the way. But it was in the mainstream. So you can have them on ABC, CBS, CNN, because it's so obvious. Arsenic in the baby food. Just type it in. You can read it later. Okay. Type in benzene in the food or something like this. Okay. So you tell the normies, "Look, you're a TV watcher. You're a bourgeois middle-class douchebag. You watch TV. You get your whole fucking life view from the TV, don't you? You get your whole life view from the TV, right?" So what's your problem? Why are you still buying products that you've been told for the last 40 years are dangerous? Why are you doing this? There's never an answer. They just say, "I'm fine. Just let me do what I want to do." And of course, they're not fine. They look like shit. They have all kinds of systemic problems. And so it's almost like I don't know, it could be best described, I guess, as a death cult. They are so it's a not it no, because I don't know if they fetishize in dying. I just that maybe it's a mindless, hapless death cult or something. Like it's just like mindlessness. It's mindlessness, and what is and shouldn't the FDA, I mean, if year after year the products that we have contain benzene. Like, I guarantee you, if you tested half the products in your house or a quarter of the products in your house, if you had a way to test for benzene, they would have dangerous levels of the potent carcinogen called benzene. No question about it, you would find benzene in these products. And there was absolutely no excuse as to why there would be benzene in these products, right? And then you say to the FDA, "Well, since year after year for the last 40 years, there's been these proof, there's been tests, even the FDA acknowledged that this stuff is in there. Shouldn't like pro all products from Procter and Gamble and Johnson and Johnson, shouldn't there be mandatory independent testing of every single batch that comes out of these fucking death factories?" Because it's like if you have a rapist and he's constantly raping. Generally speaking, we have a system in place that if you release the guy from jail, they have to monitor him to make sure he's not raping anymore, right? You have to they have systems in place for that because it's this Christianized, and of course rape is very bad, and of course it ties into the Christian hatred of sexual all hatred of sexuality, the anti-sexuality of Christianity. And so, yes, they will spend money to make sure that doesn't happen. Okay. But there's never any impetus to have a system in place whereby they say, okay, Johnson & Johnson, you've been caught for 40 years with benzene in your products. We have the test results. We have the data. We have the lab reports. The lab reports are not wishy-washy on this. You have dangerous levels of lead, mercury, arsenic, benzene in your products. Definitely, no question about it, it's happening on a consistent level. Every year, we are catching you doing that. Why are they still in business, first of all? Why is Johnson & Johnson in business? Why is Procter & Gamble in business? If year after year after year after year after year, it's poison and poison and poison being caught in their food. Every year, refining poison in these giant food companies. Why are they still in business? Why isn't there a class action suit and they get put out of business forever? Why isn't there a mandatory testing system where the Jewish FDA, hint, hint, that's why there is no system, because Jews own Procter & Gamble and Jews own the FDA. And Jews want the poison. That's why they have the kosher label. So that, and there's different kosher labels. So we get a certain kosher label in your store that ain't kosher. Okay, but then they have kosher products that are tested, and the Jews do not get the poison in their food. That's why they have a label. That's why the kosher label. But the kosher products that are in your supermarket, that's not the real kosher label. There's a couple different, there's like several hundred different kosher labels, and there is probably only a few that are definitely, you know, kosher in terms of the Jewish, which means like they have an understanding that they're not going to put poison into that stuff. Okay, but why are these companies allowed to remain in business? Why isn't the Department of Justice suing them out of existence? Well, who runs the Department of Justice? Jew boy Merrick Garland. Okay, so it's this Jews run the tables. They run the tables from start to finish. It's a Jewish operation. Like I said, type in benzene in the food. Type in arsenic in the baby food. Type it in. See for yourself. Year after year after year, they go, oh, look at this. And it's even reported on the Jewish mainstream media. So it's so prevalent that even the Jews who would normally cover up the Jewish poison in the Jewish-owned baby food, they can't because the word gets out. So they kind of have to cover that story. Okay. So if the Jews are putting purposely, and they go, by the way, they say, oh, arsenic occurs naturally in the earth, and that's how it ends up in the baby food. No. Arsenic doesn't appear in the ground, the environment, to the degree and the levels that it's concentrated in baby food. So the degree of concentration of arsenic, lead, mercury, and cadmium, all of which are not good to have in baby food. I promise you that. Your baby's not going to be healthy if he's consuming arsenic, lead, mercury, and cadmium. Sorry. You're going to have a very, very, very unhealthy child. That child is going to grow up with neurological problems, cancer, all kinds of issues. Definitely. 100%. And that's the point. That's the point. That's what it's all about. Bringing as much harm to the goyim as humanly possible. And there is absolutely no way to protect yourself from that if you consume those products. So this whole discussion came because I ran out of the naturally, locally sourced stuff, and I had to use some shampoo that was purchased at the local CVS, and it's terrifying because I can read, because I can pay attention. Once you tell me that there's arsenic in the food and cadmium and mercury in the food, Harry Fox doesn't forget that. I remember that. When there's benzene in 1/4 of all the products that are at Walmart and Target, Harry Fox remembers it. My sister won't remember that. She'll buy the products. Okay. But I see that story year after year, and I change my habits. I change. My life changes. I change. I see that label Johnson & Johnson, and I say, fuck you. You know what people should do? Well, I can't. It would be funny. I'm not recommending people do this. I'm not recommending. But fucking, instead of going into what they do, they glue their hands to to works of art because they want to protest oil. Oil, which is awesome, by the way. I'll do another show on that. Oil is fucking, it's freed humankind from the utter poverty, and really, the oil and the internal combustion motor, which is one of humankind's greatest achievements. Oh my God, what a wonderful achievement this is. Sure, we have to put pollution controls on this as best as we can. We want to limit the output. We don't want to eliminate the internal combustion. That is a work of engineer. Ed was one of the greatest human achievements. The diesel motor, even better than the gas motor. The diesel motor is just the efficiency and the, oh my God, what a marriage of a natural resource, oil, petrochemicals, and the engineering, the ingenuity of to create the magic of a diesel motor. Oh my God, I love it. But of course, you want to limit the exhaust from them, of course, just because you don't want to smell it. But all the diesel motors in the world, if you look at the actual mass of the Earth and then the total mass of the atmosphere, the total size and scale of it, it's like a drop in the bucket. It's not. But you still want to maintain good pollution controls. But you do not want to get rid of those aspects. But you want to keep the internal combustion motor. We definitely need that. The electric car is actually a form of slavery. We'll do that in another show. But as for a demonstration, if you want to be effective and make a real demonstration, which these idiots don't want to do, it would be funny if they went into the stores that are selling Johnson and Johnson shampoos and stuff, and just took the caps off and just spilled that on the floor. I'm not recommending anybody do that because I don't want the feds coming down to Harry Box's place and arresting me because I'm recommending. I would just say it would at least be kind of interesting. And then when people say, why are they spilling Johnson and Johnson shampoos onto the floor like that? Well, the reason why is because Johnson and Johnson and Procter and Gamble are purposely adding carcinogens, benzene, arsenic, lead, and cadmium into their products. It's done on purpose. And where it's happening is immaterial. Whether it happens in the warehouse, whether it happens during the manufacturing process, there is a Jew somewhere in there. And how do they do that? Well, since BlackRock owns them all, right? BlackRock and Vanguard's the same company. So since the Jews can own the majority shareholder in these companies, they have the ability to place into those companies at any level they want, at the laboratory, in the manufacturing, certainly at the board of director level. Okay, then they could say, I want my cousin to have a job though over there in the plant where actually the products are getting mixed. Okay, so that'll be a Jew, that'll be an Israeli and former Israeli intelligence or current Israeli intelligence, something like that. Then if you're the board member that's been placed into Johnson and Johnson because Jews have a majority ownership of Johnson and Johnson, that board member could say to the guy who at the lab said, yeah, put Shlomo there at the mixing plant. And that guy says, yeah, okay, because he does what he's told. That's how corporations work. So Shlomo now from Israeli intelligence now is right at the place where they're mixing the thing. Shlomo is there specifically to take delivery of the benzene, and he's in charge of the mixing of the product, right? Of the shampoo, soap, whatever it is. He says, okay, a Friday night, we're getting off early, whatever, or midnight, I'm going to stay late. Everybody, goodbye. I'll see you in the next weekend, Friday. Yeah, and then on that day, the benzene gets added to the food. Okay, it could happen if it's dry goods, if it's lentils or rice. That could happen at anywhere along the line. It could be in the warehouse. There could be Shlomo's in the warehouse. But if there is one, just one single Jew, just one Jew anywhere in the chain from the growth to the processing, to the manufacturing, to the packaging, to the warehousing, to the shipping, and to the retail. If there is just one Jew anywhere in that chain, your life is in danger. Your life is in danger. Your life is in danger. Because the whole saying that Jews are poisoning the well, that saying has been around since the Middle Ages. That's not an anti-Semitic trope. That's because since the Middle Ages, community after community, town after town, has said that well was poisoned, and that was when these Jews came in, and that's why it was. People aren't stupid, and if you read the history, but don't go to Google and type in a Jew's poisoning the well, because they're going to say, it's a common anti-Semitic trope. Yeah, I know. Jews have, according to Google, there's never been a Jewish crime. There's never been Jews. The Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, who stole our nuclear secrets and sold them to the Soviets, they were innocent. Leo Frank, who raped and murdered the 13-year-old girl, and which caused the creation of the ADL, he was innocent. You know, there has never, according to Google, there has never been a Jew in history who has ever done anything wrong. Jews have never done any crime. Any Jew has ever been convicted by a overwhelming evidence. Leo Frank raped and murdered that 13-year-old girl, which caused the ADL to be created. Overwhelming evidence that Jules and Ethel Rosenberg stole the secrets for the atomic bomb and sold them to the Russia. Overwhelming. The evidence is overwhelming. Go to Google and they'll say it was anti-Semitic. Those people are innocent. Remember, if there's one Jew anywhere in the process of your food, your life is in danger. Good luck. And source locally, buy only from people that you know as best as you can, and grow your own food or you're dead. Good luck, everyone.